This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Today's podcast is being recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions. Raider creates and maintains technical strategies for businesses of all sizes across the country, as well as right here in Lafayette, functioning as a complete IT department. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. Lafayette Convention and Visitors Commission also provides underwriting for Discover Lafayette. To find out more about our local restaurants, festivals, music scene, and much more, please visit LafayetteTravel.com. And speaking of restaurants, our guest today is Ema Hawk, proprietor of Bailey's Seafood and Grill, Ema's Cafe, Bailey's Offshore Catering, and Emaco Food Services, all based right here in Lafayette. When Ema moved here from Bangladesh in 1983, he was 19. He graduated from USL with a degree in mechanical engineering and worked first with Mallard Drilling, which later became Parker Drilling, as a project engineer. Yet, he wasn't a cook. As he worked his way through school, from what I read, Ema, you served in a lot of positions, high-level things like busboy, dishwasher, waiter, bartender, and finally, a cook. So today, 35 years after your arrival, Ema, you've been recognized as one of Louisiana's top chefs, a recipient of more than 30 cooking medals and Best in Show Award from Louisiana Gold Culinary Classic. In 2007, in fact, you were named Restaurateur of the Year by the Louisiana Restaurant Association, which is one of the most prestigious awards anyone can get. And I love this part, too. Just this year, in 2018, you were inducted to the Alumni Wall of Honor, College of Engineering at UL Lafayette. So you've maintained your connection to your mechanical engineering background.
Oh, God, it is so humbling.
I know.
Really, I've been so blessed.
You have been blessed, and we've been blessed by your presence in our community. Yeah. Welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Thank you. Thank you,
yeah.
Again.
Talking before the show, Ema, we were talking about this is Election Day, and I didn't really know much about Bangladesh, so I did a little bit of research, and you were sharing with me your love of America. I'd like to get in, before we start with your professional career, what it was like growing up in Bangladesh, if we can get to know that part of you.
Sure. You know, I mean, as you know, Bangladesh was one country, long, I think until 47, 48, it was India. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, in 1949, it separated to Pakistan and India. After Pakistan has two, West Pakistan, which is now Pakistan, and East Pakistan became Bangladesh in civil war in 71. Mm-hmm. We had got our independence, so we had 9 months of really bad war.
War, yeah.
Yes. And yeah. I was very young in those days, but I remember, you know, I mean, I lived in Pakistan also a few years. Then, obviously, my roots, my parents, they were from East, mm-hmm. which was Bangladesh. So,
and that was really where the turmoil was, from what I understand. I don't know if that affected your family, but there was, in 1970, a cyclone. The Bola cyclone apparently was the worst tropical cyclone
the human
ever
history, yes,
in,
yes.
in the history of the world.
In the world, yeah. It was, you know, it was really, I was very little, probably 7 years old. Mm-hmm. There's almost a million some people died in that cyclone. So it was devastating.
And the government wasn't equipped to
handle that. I don't know. Those days, really, it was not. They couldn't handle the magnitude of cyclone with the tidal waves. Mm-hmm. So it still is a very vulnerable people, you know, a lot of poor people, a lot of fishermen that live by the coast. Over the years, definitely, you know, with a lot of help from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And as a country, I think they have done a great job. So when the signal comes in, the storm is coming in, they can evacuate people and build a lot of shelters. But those days, no, we didn't have that one. And also living in the East, you know, where the Bangladesh was, even though it was one country supposed to be, we are in every way we are behind, you know, to economic development. And so that was one of the reasons also, you know, the independence came. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're doing well nowadays,
yeah.
You know, I think.
Well, it's been a while since liberation. So.
Yes, it's almost 48, 47, 46 years. So it's It's a good country, you know. I miss him sometimes. You know, I try to go as much as mm-hmm. I can. My wife goes, I think, try to go
back once to visit. A year.
Yes. And,
yeah.
And my children, you know, I think when they were little, they went more mm-hmm. often.
Well, you were telling us also, we're here with Jason Sikora with Raider Solutions. You were talking about your education and that there's a Notre Dame where you grew up.
Yes. You know, a lot of people get surprised. One time, actually, in 2015, I went to Bangladesh and I took some pictures. And I'm not too good into those Facebook or social media, but I managed to send and people were surprised. Notre Dame in Bangladesh? How that happened?
Yeah.
You know, it's a Catholic
what up
school.
With that?
Well, it's been there since it was a Pakistan. You know, it was established in Dhaka in 1949.
And that's where you were born, right?
Yes, I was born in Dhaka. Mm-hmm. And I think not because I went, it's definitely the best school in the country. I mean, and not only that, we had some sisters institution like Holy Cross College. We had St. Gregory, St. Joseph. I went to, as a Muslim guy, I went to Catholic school, and I think mm-hmm. I was telling you earlier, we had a mosque every uh-huh. Friday, as you know, it's a prayer day. I remember my Father Pisciuto, he was a principal, also used to teach us physics and make sure we had prayed, you know, we went, mm-hmm. because other than 45-minute recess, it was 2 hours. So growing up, I think it was nice, and got to know, you know, since went to American school. And I remember we used to go pretty often to visit American Cultural Center. I had no idea about Louisiana, but I knew New Orleans.
Yeah.
Because when we used to go, the Cultural Center used to have a big poster, you know, uh-huh. Welcome New Orleans, and the Superdome was just built. Obviously, when I applied, you know, that I wanted to go for higher educations to, mm-hmm. You know, my family there really was convincing me. Maybe if I wanted to go to Europe, but a lot of my friends were in America, they came in. So I applied.
Why you came here? Did you have friends here?
Actually, I didn't know some of my school friends. Mm-hmm. They were going to U.S. And obviously, as you know, America does a very good job to recruit or get immigrants, especially the smart. If you're very smart mm-hmm. kids, even in high school, you get picked out. Get good scholarship to some of the big name schools
in America. That's exciting, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I had a friend, he came to Johns Hopkins, you know, with a scholarship, you mm-hmm. know, and before even he got his high school diploma, he left, you know, I came. I came a little bit later, but, you're going to see it's American, we promote, you know, mm-hmm. to attract the brightest, you know, the good students to come.
Right.
They're financial. Also, America helps out a lot in a lot of different ways, too. If there's some people talented and they are not really financially not capable, and I think
they
get some scholarship to
right.
come to U.S., yes.
Well, I knew that UL has always had a great reputation for its engineering department.
Yes.
And were
yes.
you always wanting to be a mechanical engineer? Was that something?
For me, I think I knew I wanted to be an engineer. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, my parents probably would like to see me as a physician, but trust me, Jenna, I have sometimes on a television, they said they laugh, you know, I watch Andy Griffith's show. And I watch Little House on the Prairie. Even watching Andy Griffith's show, sometimes I can cry. So oh. I knew I couldn't be a doctor. You know, I couldn't see people dying or getting people. So mm-hmm. I think engineering was a good way. And
yeah.
I think I don't work as an engineer anymore, but I miss it. And I was happy that I was an engineer.
Right, right. So you moved here. And
yes. Go to UL.
Graduated in mechanical engineering. So yes. you were having to make money to help with expenses during college? Is that what
you
got
you? For me, when I came, you know, of course, through college, I had to pay for my school. My first job was at the UL cafeteria as a pot washer, became a dishwasher. And obviously, you have seen, you know, I manage restaurant. I work as a waiter, bartenders, you know, mm-hmm. a cook. So pretty much... when I first came in 83, I have no idea how to cook rice. You know, if I used to say, oh my God, if my roommate doesn't cook rice, and growing up in Bangladesh, we eat rice at least twice a day, mm-hmm. if not more.
You'd never cooked rice?
I didn't know, you know. Mm-hmm. first time when I was asked to cook rice, yeah, how difficult that could be.
And I think it's an art. I don't know. I think it's easy to mess rice up.
Yeah, you're right. And
that's what my dad always said when anybody else tried to make it.
So, and South Louisiana, we live, you know, I had great friends, you know, mm-hmm. and the friends became part of the family. You know, I have a Cajun mom who adopted me in 1983. Her son and I, we started UL in mechanical engineering. Mm-hmm. And I remember first time when he invited me, it was for Thanksgiving meal. And I have no idea what was Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I knew today I don't have to, Thanksgiving day I was working in the cafeteria, then I'll stay at the apartment, the house I lived in. And Jeff Jardell, you know, he was my friend. You know, I met him in my mechanical engineering class. So he called and he called me and said, look, hey, my mother would like to invite you. If you want to come, we'd like to have you. You know, college student food, trust me, he never said no. He said, yes,
right.
I'd love to.
Right.
Make it short, you know, I didn't have a car. I had a bike and it was very cold Thanksgiving that year. So Jeff picked me up and went to their house. And here I went, met my mom, mm-hmm. Barbara Jardell. And until now, you know, she's really, I call her every day almost. You know, she's the grandmother of my children. You know, mm-hmm. My children grew up knowing her as a grandmother.
Uh-huh.
And she's probably worries and prays for me more than she said to her, you know, Jeff and Brent, you know, I mean, so it's been a blessing in every way,
yeah.
You know, I mean, she never misses anything of my children's. So it's a great community we live in, you know, it's just, so when I went to my first Thanksgiving, it was so incredible. So when I started my restaurant in 93, Mom was helping and we just opened, I think it was October 2nd, first day of business, and we worked hard 2-3 months to get the restaurant going, and Mom used to cook every Thanksgiving. I said, boy, I'm tired. And then I had the idea, I said, Mom, you know, why not cook food if you can help me cook, and we'll serve the people who doesn't mm-hmm. have any place to go.
Mm-hmm.
It could be homeless or people in need, elderly, and
right.
We will feed them.
That's how it started?
That's it started in 93, so it will mm-hmm. be our 26th year. And first year, we probably served about 150, 160 meals.
Which is a lot.
Last year, we did about close to 950. Uh-huh. So
yeah, and let me just clarify. I'm sure people know what we're speaking of, but every Thanksgiving, you offer...
It's every Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you offer meals at Bailey's.
At the restaurant, yeah. We serve
right.
just like restaurant settings. Also, we arrange transportation to go mm-hmm. pick up people and deliver meals to people who cannot get out. They're physically handicapped. Mm-hmm. We definitely want them to come and enjoy. But if they can, we do deliver.
You have volunteers.
Yeah, we have a lot of volunteers. They go. Uh-huh. Without them, I couldn't do it. I mean, it's a lot of about 40 or 50 some volunteers. They come and help mm-hmm. that day to make it so special. And it's been very rewarding. Put it this way: 26 mm-hmm. years. You know, stay home with my kids,
yeah,
and they
know
that they cannot go anywhere. You know, mm-hmm. this is the Thanksgiving, and this is the day. You know.
It's a day to give thanks,
day.
Though,
yes,
when you see
yes.
the people that either, like you said, don't have a family or don't have the means to have a nice meal. It's
yeah.
just beautiful.
And so many lonely, you know, the elderly people, they don't have any place to go. It is so special. Mm-hmm. You know, every year something happens, they're going to make you cry that, wow.
Really?
You know, I mean, and the children, you know, they can probably go to a fast food place if they can afford that much. Mm-hmm. But to come sit down and be served mm-hmm. in a... You know, upscale restaurants, it's
nice.
It's it makes, yeah. definitely makes me so happy.
I don't even know if you know this. How many turkeys is that? How many turkeys are baked?
Oh, God, it's 40 plus turkeys. Mm-hmm. There's a huge turkeys.
You can do that on site?
We start cooking actually 2 or 3 days before. This year, we're going to do a little bit different. We ordered a lot of those butterball turkey, fried turkey breast.
Mm.
So, because it is... It takes a lot of time, a lot of people to mm-hmm. Some 20, 25 pound turkey, 50 some.
Yeah, that's
to
a lot of basting. Yeah.
So to serve, we'll prepare ourselves uh-huh. to serve about 1,000 meals. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sure you'll probably have at least 1,000
yes,
this year.
Yes, we'll have it.
Yeah.
And we cover anywhere from Kaplan to New Iberia to mm-hmm. Opelousas. So it's a big mm-hmm. geographical
areas
too. Yes.
So you've got Bailey's Seafood and Grill, which is the restaurant that's been in existence since October 2nd, 1993.
Yes.
And you've also got your other businesses, and you were telling me that that's really the bulk of your enterprise is your offshore, Bailey's Offshore Catering,
right,
and
yeah.
Emeco
Food Services.
Food
yeah.
Services. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, sure. You know, it's all food related. You know, I mean, I always tell people I don't know too much. I don't know how to play golf, fish. I think I'm a decent cook. I can build running rigs
you
or
can
run
make
rigs.
Rice. Yeah.
So in 99, I started when I was working at Parker Drilling. Mm-hmm. And I knew I don't want to relocate. I don't want to move away from Lafayette. And I started offshore catering. About it'll be 19 years. It'll be 20 years next year. And we serve not only the Gulf of Mexico, pretty much, you know, we have work in Brazil, Malaysia, uh-huh. you know. West Africa, so we work, and obviously our oil and gas is very depressed situation. I mean, and we do a lot of remote site catering too. Now, currently, we're doing some work off of Bitla Rose, Bayou Bouillon. You know, you take go to Bitla Rose, take a boat, then go to the land. So we do a lot of that type of work, mainly offshore drilling rigs. It's just like the entire facility is like a hotel, so we provide the food and the uh-huh. housekeeping services. So pretty much anywhere.
So that's your bread and butter, like
yeah, definitely. It's the biggest became. We had almost 250 people worked for us until 2015. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we had about 100 some people less now. And 2010, I started a broadline food distribution place. Just like, you know, I mean, you'd say U.S. Food, Sysco. So we provide mm-hmm. Supplies to restaurants, nursing homes, hospitals. I do some of those schools,
yeah.
Jails, convenience stores. So
uh-huh.
so that's a and definitely we provide to marine services too. Like if we need to bring food to Galveston or to go to Fouchon or mm-hmm. Grenal. To go to the drilling rigs, the people who work in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
So we provide pretty much all the supplies, anything you can imagine mm-hmm. and a household needs.
Do you oversee all that, Ema, or do you have a manager that really runs that for you?
You know, I'm really incredibly blessed with a lot of good people in my restaurant and my offshore catering and also Emeco Food Services. But I'm a pretty hands-on guy.
I was thinking you would be.
And trust
yeah.
me, I still go to, make every effort to go to location. Mm-hmm. Offshore, not as much as I like to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I go to a lot of location. Even last week, I went to Port Sulphur, to mm-hmm. Chalmette, and land base.
Right.
I have some operations.
Just to make
and,
sure they're keeping it the
yes,
way you
they
want
Yes, they do it.
It.
You know, we're local and a small business. Mm-hmm. Definitely, we're not big in any way. But in this world, it doesn't matter how small you are, you have to provide the service and better than the big mega companies. Mm-hmm. And I think we definitely fulfill that. I think we can expect the expectation of our customers mm-hmm. and a lot of good friends, you know, is still, I really love what I do, Jen. You know,
I know.
Think it's making a difference, you know, at the end of the day, I'd make a living. And it's home, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, I couldn't be happier.
Right. Do you miss, like, were you cooking a lot when you were, you in the restaurant at one point full time?
I used to work when I work as an engineer. In the first 3 years, I worked 3 years, day and night. I didn't take a day
off. So you were working during the day as an engineer.
I worked days. The uh-huh. first 3 years at a restaurant, I didn't work as an engineer. I worked just the restaurant, a small business. It was difficult.
Oh, my gosh.
So I worked days and night without taking a day off.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started working at Mallard Drilling, that, of course, Mallard got bought out by Parker, I used to work in the daytime, then in the evening I'll go to the restaurant. I love to cook. You know, sometimes Sundays, still you're going to find me in the kitchen if I have the time.
Oh, really? Even today?
Even today, mm-hmm. you know, and you have so many young people, you know, if you can
yeah.
show them, you know, what I have done. I'm not saying that I am highly successful, but I'm really very content and thankful, but whatever I know, if I can share that with someone else and make a difference, I think mm-hmm. that makes me so mm-hmm. happy. And I go to the warehouse, you know, I mean, it's not quite Karen Crow in Upper Lafayette sites, mm-hmm. and I have that warehouse. And offshore, whenever I can,
right.
go see clients, go see our customers, you know, mm-hmm. and So it keeps me busy.
Do you have a favorite dish, or do you still create dishes? You know, are you still thinking about things that would be good combinations?
Oh, yes. You know, if you're a cook, you know, you always think, you know, I mean, you take the same thing or remodify, or sometimes you just come with an idea. Mm-hmm. Do I do it? Yes, I do it. You know, when I go, sometimes I don't even know.
Do you have a favorite dish at Bailey's?
A lot of favorite dish. You know, obviously love to cook, mm-hmm. you know, Cajun, Creole food with a little bit of, definitely, you know, the classic one. People used to laugh, you know, I used to go one medals for gumbo or etouffee. So those, you don't want to change it. But,
right.
you know, our Cajun food is so rich. It's so unique. Mm-hmm. So many spices. Just like in Bangladesh and India, you know, we had so many things. So sometimes to blend or to work together. And in college, I worked in a Chinese restaurant for many years. So that helps me a lot, you know, when mm-hmm. I come up with a dish. I still like to do it, yes.
That's great.
I do it often, yes.
Yeah. Well, I know on some of your volunteer work, it seems to me, when I think of Emahawk, I really think community volunteer. And I know how busy you are with your work, but so many times I see you out. And one example I want to share with people is AMI Kids. It really touches my heart what you do to help them and the board that helps AMI Kids. That's the young men that are somewhat at their last opportunity before they go to jail. They have an yes. opportunity to live. It's in Branch, Louisiana, right outside of Lafayette Parish. And I was out there with you one day, and I was seeing their garden and the young men. They can have up to 36 young men, and they're very young, 12 to 18.
And that is such a great facility. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, first I didn't know. I think I was told one day they had to get together at Tony Gordon's house and mm-hmm. got to see everybody and the project. You know, Sheriff Mike Newstrom, mm-hmm. Our prior sheriff, I think he was very instrumental to mm-hmm. do that. I think it's so important to have organization, facility like this. You know, there's so many, as you said, this is the last hope. And those kids are with full of potential. They don't have no guidance. So for me, you know, anytime it doesn't matter how busy I am, we need to make time. You know, mm-hmm. if we don't, who's going to do that? You know, I think each one of us, we need to see what we can do to make it better. And in a small way, big way. And nothing makes me happier when I can see in a way if I can make a difference. Mm-hmm. You know, as I said, I'm so fortunate, so thankful, you know, for so many good friends, families, and the community. And I think it's my every obligation, as I said, moral or any way you to see it. I think I feel obligated that not only it makes me extremely happy, it gives me joy, and I think we all should reach out, and if we don't make our community better, mm-hmm. We cannot sustain any good community, country, unless we work on it every day.
You're a good steward of the resources God has given you. I know you've also taken an interest in education and doing what you can to see that kids have opportunities for better educational outcomes.
Yes, you know, when I was really opened the restaurant and then get elected to serve on a chamber, our education system, as you know, it sometimes saddened you, frightened you, that such a great country we live in. It's such a huge gap, you mm-hmm. know. I think we have the achievement gaps. You know, that the one year when I was serving, it was Tyrone Picard, I think mm-hmm. he was our chairman of the board, and put me on the committee to achievement gaps. And when I visited a lot of schools, especially at-risk school, J.W. Mm-hmm. Falk, Myrtle Place, and I spent a lot of time, you know, I went, sat down in the classroom, worked with the teachers, students, realized they're all American kids. You know, we cannot have my kids get the best education, the guidance. Granted, a lot of our children, they come from a single family, or no mom and dad.
Family,
they're
yeah.
growing up with grandparents, and knowing them that they have no food, mm-hmm. the best food they get when they go to schools. And we sit down with our kids to do homework. These kids has no idea what his homework is, how they can go finish. And as a business owners, one day I'm going to hire them. Mm-hmm. They're going to come work with us. And what kind of force we creating. But not only that, you know, we're creating a liability if we don't take care of them now. So whatever the way I can do it, you know, over the time I probably adopted about 7 schools in a small way, when I can reach out either to award them for their good behavior or making good grades or maintaining good grades, or they are good kids. They get to come to restaurant a couple of times, a few times a year.
Oh.
And it's really nice, Jen. You need to come in, especially in May or December time. You know, it's those kids, they remember, you know. I mean, mm-hmm.
Do you teach them about,
yeah, they come,
you know,
some of
using
we teach them some manners,
and
you know, and to tell me if they make a good grade. Mm-hmm. It's not like our kids, okay, they make an A, what they're going to do. But if a kid is making a C, if they can make a B, I think that's quite an achievement.
It is.
So in my, you know, world, you know, I think these are the stuff makes me so mm-hmm. happy, get me going, you know. And that, you know, I know it's not only duty, obligation, I think it's a really, mm-hmm. it makes your heart
right
so warm, and it's a wow, you know, right. Look at those, you know, just to making a difference.
So, well, I've seen you in the community. I've printed out your bio, and honestly, I should have brought my glasses. The print is so small because of the incredible number of awards. You've gotten everything from the Better Business Bureau, Good Neighbor Award, Kiwanian of the Year, as I said earlier, Restaurant Tour of the Year, Outstanding Citizen by Woodman of the World. It goes on and on and on. And we're just so lucky to have you here in the studio today, but also in our community. And before we close this down, Ema, we're here with Jason Sikora, and he has been writing notes. And I know you've got questions.
Yeah. I won't be able to get to all of them, but
sure, sure.
So I'm a backline tech turned IT specialist. So anytime somebody's in here that has this big turn, mechanical engineer turned chef, it fascinates me. My first question was, you went to UL. Why did you choose UL?
You know, when I really, when I decided to come to US, I applied some of the schools in the South, as I told you, like Father Pichardo said, Bangladesh is very much like Louisiana, hot, humid, mm-hmm. People eat seafood, spicy food. It's a look, it would be good for you to apply. So I applied Texas A&M, applied LSU. That time it was USL, I didn't know. And right away I get acceptance letter from UL, they call them an I-20. And so, okay, I'll go to Lafayette. I had no idea, as I said. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what was Louisiana was, but I knew New Orleans. And goal was to stay here for one semester and then transfer to Texas A&M. And just couldn't do it. You know, fall in love, you know. I said, "Oh my God!" Yeah. I think in oil and gas, I wouldn't say opportunity. So many times I was asked or offered if I wanted to go somewhere, anywhere else, in a lot of places in the world or in the state. And so it was no. You know, I was happy. In life, you know, if you're happy, mm-hmm. what difference does it yep. make? You know, yep. As I told you, I watch Andy Griffith's show. I think I'll be happy as a sheriff of Mayberry. You know, I always my family, my friends, they laugh. You know, I'm very content. You know, I think I'm blessed. The love and support I have received, you know, from this community.
Excellent. If somebody wants to volunteer for your Thanksgiving Day event, how would they go about that?
Just call us as soon as you can. You know, only thing, you know, when you come here, we want to keep the atmosphere just like a restaurant. We just ask them. They dress nicely, and because we take orders, we serve them. We just want to give the good experience that they sit down, make sure they don't feel like they came to a place for a free meal.
Yeah.
So just give us a call at the restaurant. I think you can call at 337-988-6464. Or I think you have a Facebook. I'm not very good at it.
Okay.
Just send your name and Jeremy Whitman or Crystal. They'll reach out. Oh, and
excellent.
Then you don't need to really come the day before or 5 a.m. You can just come for either 2 hours or for all day,
okay.
Whatever the time permits. You
great.
Know.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Is there anything from your mechanical engineering days that helped you in your food business days?
Oh my God, you know, I tell my kids, none of them seems like they all want to go to medicine. I think I had a good work ethics. I mean, my mother used to call me as Energizer Bunny, so I had energy to work all the time. I think engineering is an incredible field, you know, just organization and hard work. I think definitely it helped me to be a good cook, decent cook, because I was an engineer, you know, because I always wanted to experiment stuff, build stuff, and I still do. As I said, I never thought I'll have one medal, you know, or I'll have best of the show cooking. And I still love it, you know. I still like engineering. I read stuff about drilling engineering or building a drilling rig. I get fascinated when I see they build a rig for North Sea. I study about it. I think I still can work as an engineer, and any given day, I can be a line cook in any restaurant.
Excellent. And then my final question, it's very generic, but what's the favorite part of your job?
Favorite part of the job, you know, I mean, it's just making a difference in a food service. There's so many people we work with. It's not a whole bunch of engineers, you know. Mm-hmm. It could be the guy going offshore and provide them the best we can, make sure they can raise their families. And if I see young people who come to my restaurant and help them, guide them in any way I can. And overall, as a community-wise, really, I have been asked many times, Seema, you have done for 25 plus years. But for me to reach out to so many people, I love it.
Excellent. Well, thank you for being here. This is fascinating.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jason. And Ema, thank you. I was looking at notes before we close it down. This is from Acadiana Profile, November of last year. And you did share tips from the chef about, I love the first one, just keep it simple. It's kind of like engineering. Right? It doesn't take too much to create something. You don't need a lot of ingredients.
You don't need too much. Trust me. I always tell him one time, Scott Brasdick came to my kitchen and I was cooking. I said, that's it? I said, that's it. And he said, so great. So he still talks about it. Mm-hmm. Really, food doesn't need to be as complicated. You know, as simple as you can. You want other people to prepare at home. It doesn't need to be a scary thought to go home and prepare meals. Mm-hmm. And we have so many abundance of ingredients we have.
Right.
So whatever, you know, I say, so look, whatever I'm cooking on television or really simple, it's nothing into it. You know, I mean, you just have to have the passion. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. Growing up, you know, I think I have the best parents in the world, my mom and dad. They expect a lot out of me. If I'd make 93, my mom was not educated enough, used to count 94, 95, 90. What happened to other seven? Only thing, I had to give my best. So if you don't have the passion, it doesn't matter. You work as a dishwasher, you work as a drilling engineer, you work as a chef. You have to love what you do. Mm-hmm. And you need to have the passion. So look, I know in no way I'm the best or close to be the best, but I know I try my best to do it. And that helps. You know, we tell our children and the people who work with me, as you were asking, Chris, a little bit earlier, that there's so many people, you know, you always feel like that. Hopefully you can reach out to 1, 2, 3, or as many numbers you can. Because as an American, we're so fortunate. We are so blessed. And it's really, definitely gives me hope. It doesn't make me happy when I see that they're not trying. You know, they just need to realize, hey, look, I live in the best country. I'm going to make it happen. And not only make it good for them, but to continue to this community and country move forward in a better way.
Right.
And, so
it's a beautiful, beautiful thought. And Ema Hawk, proprietor of Bailey's Seafood and Grill, Emeco Food Services, Bailey's Offshore Catering, and much more. Thank you for not only being here today, but for being such a good steward. And you're a beloved community member. We're fortunate to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And thank you.
I want to thank our listeners also for your support of Discover Lafayette. You can find this interview and all of our interviews at discoverlafayette.net. And if you would please subscribe to the podcast, you can do that on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you get your podcast. We appreciate your support. And if you'd rate and review, it'd be great. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, I'm Jan Swift.